Welcome, everyone. If you're joining us from the Gratitude in Gaming video, hello. It's the companion commentary for this one. Epos, let's talk about collecting. You mentioned the spicy take that collecting games is not the same as playing them. In fact, you went so far as to suggest that it could be viewed as a separate hobby altogether.
Spicy take, potentially, but I see at this point collecting games and even the act of buying games as a separate hobby from playing them. Now, playing them requires buying them, so it's not like you can't do both. But I think a lot of people, and I don't know how we have a conversation about it that benefits, but I think a lot of people really enjoy building the setups or buying and collecting the games more than the act of playing them. And I don't think there's a problem with that. I think there just needs to be internal clarity about which part you're actually trying to achieve. I think on the surface, like, this is something I've seen some people have a lot of resistance to. And I think it's one of those things where, like, if you feel called out, you're more likely to be kind of aggro in response to it, and not everybody likes that. But I also think, if you think about it rationally, I mean, think about, just envision in your head with zero extra context what a quote-unquote collector is to you, whether they collect stamps or toys on a shelf or DVDs or video games. That is a separate person from what you imagine a hardcore gamer to be. And I think that is a pretty important distinction to make. I think recognizing that the act of buying something, especially buying it regularly and collecting it, especially whether it's to put on a shelf or to put in a beefier and beefier Steam library, is a pretty different task from just playing the games and buying just being a required transaction to get there. And arguably not even a required transaction anymore with all of the Game Pass, PlayStation Plus, Humble Bundle situations out there.
Yeah, I think there are collectors who always have to, like, okay, if you're going to start game 4 in the series, they go back and make sure they buy games 1 through 3, yeah, on the off chance that they may play them someday. And I'm not that type of person, like, in general. Like, I don't need to complete the series or whatever. But I have ultimately, like, bought tons of things before out of the, well, I should buy it. Should buy it. It's on sale. Yeah, I might use it down the road. I'll kick myself if I don't buy it at this price. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I definitely think there's a big role of that. I also think there's just, you get something different out of it. I think I fall heavily into both camps at this point. Like, I have half of my current garage studio here dedicated to a quote-unquote game room that is half functional as a video set, half functional as an actual game room. Like, I play games in it. It works as that. And part of that process involves curating what I have on display, what I have available. And there's something about the hunt for certain games or the discovery of games I'd never heard of that fit my worldview, my personality, my whatever, that excites me to acquire them, to put them on the shelf next to my others, and to add them to the prospect of playing at some point. It's so much less common that I buy a game in that mindset and then immediately go play it. And we have these conversations a lot. Often I wish that wasn't the case, but I'm starting to be a little easier on myself. Obviously, I want to be a conscious consumer and I want to be responsible with my money, and there's lots of nuance there. But if I'm going to have a hobby of collecting a thing, I need to respect the fact that that is the hobby. And so, like, I think I talked about on one of our podcasts recently, I picked up Eternal Ring and one of the Kingsfield games from Software on the PlayStation 2. And I'm often finding these little hidden gems on the PS2. My ultimate goal is to play and experience these, to form my own perspectives and opinions on them, and to add them to my understanding of the gaming landscape and blah, 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 blah. Have fun at the end of the day. But in the short term, I'm not doing that, and I have no real illusions that I'm going to if I really think about it. Like, if I go pick up a game on eBay or I hunt it elsewhere just kind of on a whim because it's a cool game I discovered and it's only $20 and I can, I'm not scheduling my time to make sure I then turn around and play it. I'm not, the activity I'm participating in is not an activity of expecting to play a game. I am just acquiring the game.
Oh, see, I was thinking about this and it relates with it. Do you have to see credits to justify the purchase of a game? Do you have to beat it? No. Do you have to finish it? What do you, like, justify at that point? Because, like, I have debated this all year long because I have a deep sense of joy hitting credits on a game that I enjoyed. Like, I really love it. But then I've also put a lot of arbitrary constraints on the way that I play in order to not feel like I'm wasting money. Yep. And it's very silly. I know it's silly. And these are, look, can we just preface two things before we go further? Like, obviously, if you have the time to game, it's super, it's like a luxury. This is a very first world problem. This is very overthinky, that kind of thing. We recognize that. And
these
then
are gaming
the
discussions
say,
for people partaking in video games freely, not for rubbing it in anyone else's faces.
I think, yeah, exactly that. And do whatever you want. You do you. Just as long as you're having a good time, you know, right? In terms of the hobby, and we're not ascribing any sort of do it this way, it'll all be fixed and better. But I have typically set a limit of like one story game at a time, keep chunking my way through it until I finish it, roll credits, then move on to the next one. And while that has been very gratifying, and I've got a nice list, like I can tell you right now, I beat like 16 games this last year. It was about 250 hours of playtime. I enjoyed just about all of them, and it was super fun. I can't help but think like adding these weird constraints is an indirect conflict with the hobby. And so, yeah, when you're out there finding the PlayStation 2 game, what's there to say that like you had just as much, if not more fun than me? If we played the same game, I hit credits, you played 2 hours. Who's to say you didn't have more fun with me playing just those 2 hours and then moving on? You're like, yeah, that was absolutely worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Like I have no romanticism about hitting end credits. I can think of plenty of instances where I like wrapped up a game and was just like, man, that was great. I even I don't remember if it was last year or 2023, maybe even 2022 at this point. Sometime in the past few years, my wife finally just played through Portal solo at night. And I watched bits and pieces of it. And then when we got to the credits, the last little bit in the credits, I was just like, man, I forgot how good that was. That hit hard. But broadly speaking for me, games are any form of media, it's enjoyable as far as it's enjoyable. And then if it stops being fun, there is very little value to me in forcing yourself to continue. If I got the best fun out of it I can, then that's all that matters. And if it stopped being fun, then forcing myself to out of obligation for money is just going to create a bad relationship with it. I think a lot of that comes from my experience with multiplayer games, because I would feel a lot of guilt about the fact that I'd spend hundreds of dollars on these games and then go play a free multiplayer game for hundreds of hours instead of those games. And I had to reconcile that because that was rough. But then it turns around and I feel very similarly about today games today. And I think session games also play a role in that. A lot of the games I've been playing recently are in the roguelike genre. And you could theoretically 100% the game, but like it's not really designed, like it's designed to let you do that, but it's mostly a sandbox. Like you're expected to play it as far as you want to. And sometimes there's a story you can at least reach the end of and then be like, all right, that was it. But sometimes there isn't. Sometimes it's just the gameplay loop. And like the loop can't go on forever. You can only enjoy it for so long. And so the one I've talked about a bunch, Jotun Slayer, when I was into it, I expected to 100% it. I had already unlocked up like most of the stuff. And it would just be mostly achievement grinding at that point. And I finished unlocking all of the tangible beneficial unlocks, but the extra trophies and achievements I wound up just getting bored of. But I got 40 hours out of a like $15 game. It was a pure obsession for over a month. I could not ask for more from a game, like period.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then I moved on. And now I'm playing another roguelike, which is in the Dynasty Warriors, Samurai Warriors universe and genre, and I can feel it again. It was like $20. I've already spent more than that on the costumes for it and stuff because I'm a sucker and I'm having a lot of fun with it. But I know it has hundreds of characters. Imagine your favorite Smash roster, whatever of your dreams, and it has like quadruple that in characters from Dynasty Warriors, from Samurai Warriors. It's got Ninja Gaiden characters, it's got Atelier characters. I don't know how to say that game, but like crossover stuff. And you can level up every one of those characters all the way, play through it a million times, like max it out. We're talking thousands of hours of content if you actually do that. No way. No possible way. This is my 30-minute at night Steam Deck game. I'm going to probably play it for 20 to 30, 40 hours and drop it. And that is fine. Now, when we're talking story games, ideally, I'm playing through to the end, but that's not guaranteed. Like, there are some games that just have a point in the story where I no longer care and they add in some water level or flying level or some other gimmick that is just too much friction. And I'm just like, that is all I need. Or there's some genres like the Souls genres where I will come back to them over and over because I enjoy attempting the challenge, but my appreciation of them will mostly come from external sources because that's as far as I can take it sometimes. And it's not worth the misery. Like, at no point is there going to be a feeling that unlocks by hitting the credit. For me, clearly that's a thing for some people, but for me, there is no feeling that could possibly unlock from the credits that will make up for bashing my head against the wall and being miserable with my leisure time.
Yep. I got to a boss wall in Kingdom Hearts 2 at the very end, and yeah, I suck. I know. If people have played KH2 Final Mix, they know that Roxas is a nightmare. And I got there, I've spent a few hours level grinding, and I just keep trying it, and I know if I really sat down and put like a good 45 minutes of effort into it, I could beat it. But I've now hit that boss wall so many times, I'm like, look, I know how this game ends. I've already beat it before. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I don't need to see credits. And then I have to ask myself, why am I doing this? I love that you brought up session games, by the way. Sonic Frontiers I've been playing, which we talked briefly about. I got a used copy for cheap. I remember this game getting kind of dogged pretty hard when they were showing it off because the performance was bad. And I remember it being like a 7 or 8 out of 10 game, which I think Metacritic kind of backs it up. But I've been loving it. It's a killer session game. I don't care if I hit the credits of Sonic Frontiers. What I care about is if I get 30 minutes of go fast, rail slide, jump, have fun, what a cool level. I don't even want it to end. Same thing with like these. I think there's a huge crop of people discovering older consoles because they are so fantastic at the session game, which is just 30 minutes of fun. It's not a giant walkie-talkie PlayStation 5, you know, official studios game where you've got your co-op partner telling you all the like Atreus things of like, hey, pick this up, do this thing, go up ladder, go over here, you know. You play the game. You have fun, you know. And I'm trying to figure out and re-examine it myself this next year, pressure free. If the game looks fun, pick it up. And guess what? There are no strings attached about playing it or not. There is, I think, a point of like, oh, okay, well, how much are you sinking into this hobby? And because I've prioritized sales and only doing used things or like a summer or winter sale, I have never spent less on this hobby and had more fun with it. You give me $50 going into a Steam summer sale, I am set for the next 9 months of gaming. And that is where we're at these days. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's super easy to get into. I think we are going to see a lot more of that mindset crop up, I think, especially as we appreciate more older games. I know a lot of people that have never played these older games go back and they get a lot of enjoyment over just sampling it, almost like we had with demo discs. We obviously weren't rolling credits on demos on demo discs, but that sampling, that experiencing a lot of different games that challenge your current worldview of what gaming is, like, that is something I have always loved. And I remember in high school and early college, that was all the gaming I got because I was so into multiplayer gaming. I was just playing a little bit here and a little bit there. And it was building my my culture of games, but I wasn't finishing them. And I tried my best to refrain from having opinions on either the game as a whole or how it concluded because I didn't specifically experience it. And to me, if you don't play a game, you haven't played the game and you should not have strong opinions on the game. But it is enough. Like, I've played games long enough and I know what my tastes are, that if I get an hour or two in and I'm like, all right, I get what this is doing, but it's not for me, that's all I need. I don't need to go dunk on it on the internet, but I know with like to put it down that it's not magically going to get better because that's the gameplay loop they designed for you to experience. And I think we need to normalize that a lot more. And I also, I think it's important to recognize when sometimes it's just fun to get games that you think are cool and might play one day. I think that should, and this is me being super biased, but like, I feel like if you're going to do that, that should lean more towards the physical realm, because really, what does it do to add Steam games to your Steam list, especially when they're only going to get cheaper over time? Like, why spend money now? And that's something I've made big mistakes of. It's like, a new game comes out in a series that I haven't finished the last one of, I will buy the game and then not get to it for 2 years until I finish the other one.
Yeah.
And that game is now $10 and I spent $60 on it. And it's like, why did I do that? And so I'm trying really hard not to do that. But I also want to go into next year with that lack of pressure that you mentioned, where like the PS2 games I picked up, I probably could have hopped into them if I wanted, but I was pressuring myself to finish playing whatever I was playing that I didn't jump in right away. Yeah. And if you have that itch for a game, just go in with it. Your other games will be there.
Yeah. And I separate the two because, like, my narrative games, I do really like beating the game, writing a little review on backlog.com and sharing that experience, being like, you know what? Start to finish, what a great game that was.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do less of it this next year or be able to mentally separate it. I like what you mentioned. you can absolutely give critique on a game and how it's vibing with you, even if you haven't finished it. You're not going to go out there and put together a two-hour video essay on the narrative of Elden Ring without completing the game and seeing it and understanding it. And I think that is something that is now... Nuance is lost on all internet discourse. We know that. Okay. Yeah. But there are definitely communities who are extremely gatekeepy about you don't get an opinion on this game until you've gone through New Game Plus 7 and you've beaten it naked, no hit, you know? And it's like, okay, well, we have to remember and also recognize there's a range of people who may criticize like one of my favorite games or something. And they only got an hour or two into it. I'm like, oh, but if you could just understand, if you just knew the concept of the gaming, you would love it. But I also, you know, I have to let that go and recognize, you know what? It didn't vibe with them enough for them to get over this hurdle to see it through, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's been the back and forth conversation we've had with commenters on the podcast about my stances on God of War 2018. I've been playing it again recently. I started it up for my PS4 videos, and it's not going to be the playthrough I stick with. But, like, all of my impressions that I've had since the game came out still held true for the first hour I played. And all the comments are like, no, you don't understand. It's supposed to be slow so that it sets up the narrative for this. And then the second game goes ham. And I'm like, that is okay. But also, these are the choices they made to present to me, and I don't like it. And it's hard to get into it. It's fine if the last hour of a three-hour movie is great. I don't necessarily want to sit through the bad hours first to get there.
Yeah. Yep. I fully get it. I love it. I think this is a good concept. I feel like this needs to pivot into like a full-on dual commentary topic. Like, this could be an entire show. So is there anything else you'd want to add before we close out here?
My theme for this year, and I think doubling down for next year, and I really want to extend the invitation for others to participate in, is to, without being critical of yourself, to look inward and evaluate why you partake in the things that you do. Whether it's consuming content, making stuff, playing games, collecting. Why do you do things the way that you do them? Why do you have the relationship you have with them? And is it meeting your goals? And that goes back to our original feelings test from our first episode of the podcast, which if you haven't seen that, go watch. But basically, like, check your feelings of how you expect a thing to be, and then check afterwards and see if that really delivered on that. And just reevaluate, like, why you're doing things. It doesn't mean you have to change anything, but perhaps you discover either goals that you didn't realize you had, or that things aren't meeting your needs, and maybe it is time for a shift. And for me, reevaluating why I collect and understanding that part of it is the joy of collecting, and that that is a separate entire like mindset and activity from gaming itself, allows me to be more comfortable and more selective in my collecting. It's not that I'm just going to double down and buy every game I see. It allows me to be like, okay, I really actually like collecting these specific games. And so I'm going to focus on them instead of buying all this junk that I'm never going
to
play.
I just went through this. I started a Jellyfin server this year, and it was very easy, especially when there were $5 Blu-rays, to just load up on things that I probably won't watch just for the sake of bolstering the collection.
Yeah.
And while it was fun, it's this fleeting sense of I need to be more intentional with all aspects of what I do. And this next year, it's going to be a lot less of the fluff. I'm going to remove the guilt. If there's something that looks cool that I want to add, great.
Yeah.
But I want to lean more into the things like you said. It's like, okay, I don't need to just buy it for the sake of buying it. And being much more aware and cautious of just FOMO in the way that our current ad-driven world works. But I love this conversation. We should talk about it a bit further in the next podcast episode. So thanks, Epos. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on. If you all missed it, go check out the part one-ish of this video over on BBK's channel, BBK Dragoon. Link in the description. I was about to say comments. I guess I could put it there too. What are you playing next to wrap things up? Just one line.
I'm on Armored Core 6 right now. That game is so sick. Yeah, I'm loving it. How about you?
I am playing Warriors Abyss, which is that roguelike Dynasty Warriors, Samurai Warriors, Musou game.
Yeah.
It is bananas. I'm starting to feel like it's actually really shallow on content compared to the number of heroes in it, but I'm hoping the heroes will play differently enough and like you combine them and build parties and stuff. Like, it's bananas. So I'm hoping it holds up, because it is a lot of fun and it runs at a nearly locked 60 frames on the Steam Deck, which is so rare.
That's so sick. Okay. Well, right on. Looking forward to hearing about it, and thank you again.
Thank you all. Bye.
Bye.